48. Lydia. Lydia woke with a start, struggling to pull herself from the depths of a nightmare, even as she wondered how long she'd been asleep. Wrapping her blankets around her freezing shoulders, she blinked at the lamp on the table. Still exhausted from pulling the blight from Lena's body and from days of little rest. But it had been worth it. There was a cure, and once a tender was found, she had faith that the blight could be driven from the land. Not that finding a tender would be an easy task, as none were left in Mudamora. Sarek would have to approach the kingdom's allies for assistance, which would take time. But at least there was hope. Rising to her feet, Lydia pulled on her clothing, intent on discovering how Sarek had reacted to the news of the cure. She had wanted to be the one to deliver the revelation, but she'd been too weak, so Dorina had gone with Lena and Gwen in tow as her witnesses. And other than Killian, there was no one Lydia trusted more than the High Lady to ensure the king took this development seriously. Leaving her room, Lydia walked down the stairs, going directly to Quindor's office. Once Lydia's mark had defeated the blight she'd drawn into it, the Grand Master had examined both her and Lena thoroughly before deeming them free of the poison. But rather than being invigorated by Lydia's success, he seemed to withdraw into himself, as though the development was more curse than blessing. And perhaps for him, it was. Quindor was nearly fanatical in his devotion to Hegeria and his dedication to the healing arts. To discover that many of those he'd condemned to death might have been saved was not a blow he'd soon recover from, if he recovered at all. She reached his office only to find it empty, which was peculiar because he was of a habit of dining in his office at this hour. Going to the main level, she bypassed the dinner hall, which was full of healers and soldiers eating their rations, and instead approached one of the guards manning the main doors, which had already been locked for the evening. "Have you seen the Grand Master?" she asked.
"He went down to see the prisoner an hour or so ago."
A flicker of unease passed through Lydia's chest. Now that they'd found a cure, there was little reason to keep Emmy alive. "She's already dead," Lydia reminded herself. "That's not the little girl you once knew, just a body possessed by the corruptor." But the admonition did nothing to still the growing trepidation in her stomach as she made her way down into the sublevel, her boots making soft thuds. The air grew colder as she reached the bottom, following the curved corridor to Emmy's room, only to stop in her tracks. The guards, who normally stood outside the entrance, were gone. Heart in her throat, Lydia crept closer, resting her hand on the door handle. It turned beneath her grip and she eased it open, peering inside. Nothing in the room moved, and her eyes jerked immediately to the prone form on the floor, white robes askew. Quindor. She hurried toward him, her stomach turning to liquid as she stared into his sightless eyes. He was unmarked by any injury that she could see, but she knew what had killed him. He'd tried to save Emmy by pulling the blight out of her, but not even Hegeria could bring back the dead. "Emmy?" There was no answer, and her skin crawling, Lydia looked around the room for the girl. There was no sign of her. But the stink of blight was thick on the air. Lowering her head, Lydia peered under the bed, her stomach flipping at the sight of the glistening pool of blight. It had come up through the floor, and as she stared, another flagstone sank into the murk. Gods, no. Lydia raced back into the hallway and up the stairs. "The Grand Master's dead," she shouted at the soldiers by the door. "Emmy's loose in the tower."
"I'm right here, Lydia."
Her skin turned to ice. Slowly, she turned around to find the little girl standing in the entrance to the barracks, a cup smeared with black held in one hand.
"Are you thirsty?"
she asked.
All the men were so very thirsty, but I think there might be some left.
Gasping in horror, Lydia shoved past the girl and raced toward the barracks. "Don't drink the water!" she screamed. "It's poisoned with blight!" But she was too late. Everywhere she looked, men were doubling over in pain, their faces waxy and sweat dripping down their faces. Those unaffected shoved away their plates and cups, but even as she watched, they started crumpling, falling off their chairs and clutching their bellies, their groans filling the air. Yet above it all, she heard a loud thump, and then another, and another. Spinning, she stared at the heavy doors to the temple as they bowed inward, the twin beams that barred them shuddering as something struck the exterior over and over.
"My friends have come!"
Emmy squealed, clapping her hands in delight. Then she reached into her pocket, extracting something. Lydia struggled not to retreat as the girl closed the distance between them, holding out Killian's cufflink. And when Lydia didn't take it, Emmy pressed it into her hand. It was warm.
"He swore to protect you."
"No, he didn't," Lydia whispered, twitching each time the ram slammed against the door behind her.
"He did. On his knees and in the name of the Six."
Emmy smiled sweetly.
"But he isn't here. He's failed you, just like he failed me."
The door exploded inward, a battering ram smashing into the guard that had been trying to brace it and sending him flying across the room, where he fell with a wet thump. And beyond, there were hundreds and hundreds of blighters, all wearing the uniforms of the Royal Army. As she watched, they stepped aside to create a path, their movements in complete unison, like they were controlled by one mind, which they were. The path revealed the center of the God Circle, and a man writhing on the ground, crimson and gold robes stained and torn. Horror filled Lydia's chest as she recognized King Sarek's face, which was twisted with the pain of blight infection. "Help him!" Lydia shouted at the remaining temple guard. But Sarek pushed up on his hands and knees, his eyes fixed on Lydia's.
"Kill me!"
he screamed.
"Do not let him have a king for a puppet!"
And in a blink of her eye, she knew he was right, that the corruptor would soon possess the King of Mudamora and most of the Royal Army. An army of corpses. Except no one would know it, because it didn't appear the corruptor had the intention of allowing anyone out of Mudare alive.
"Shoot him!"
she screamed at the guard, who was staring dumbfounded at the horde, seeing them as his comrades, not as corpses the way she did. When he didn't move, she wrenched the bow from his grip along with a handful of arrows. Her hands shaking, she knocked one of them, then let it fly, but it only skittered against the cobbles. She tried again, and this time it sank into the legs of one of the corpse soldiers. He screamed and fell, the corruptor keeping up the pretense they were living even now. She knocked her last arrow, knowing that if she didn't aim true, that she'd have to go out there and try to kill Sarek with a blade, if she could. Her bow twanged sharply, and Tremon himself must have guided her hand, for it flew directly toward the king's throat, only to be plucked out of the air. Lydia's eyes widened at the sight of Cinta, dressed in black leather, a sword belted at her waist.
"Silence!"
she commanded, and the blighter army went entirely still. the only noise Sarek's moans of pain.
Such a shame Killian isn't here,
the healer purred.
Though to be fair, even he's never had much luck with this particular challenge.
Confusion twisted through Lydia. That Cinta, who'd fought so hard to see the blighters killed, now stood among them like she was in command of them. Then, realization slapped her in the face, her fists clenching, as so very, very much became clear.
How?
The word tore from her throat. But the real question in her mind was, why?
You know how, Lydia,
Cinta answered, the breeze pulling a strand of gray hair loose from her braid and sending it trailing out in the wind.
Hegeria might have granted you your mark, but it's your choice how to use it. And the Corruptor rewards those who use their mark to achieve his ends. Strength, power, eternal youth.
She snapped her fingers. A moment later, two men appeared, dragging a young man in a Royal Army uniform. With total nonchalance, Cinta caressed the man's cheek, and Lydia could do nothing as she stole his life, decade after decade marring the man's face until he fell to the ground with a brittle crunch. And Cinta was no longer a woman in her 50s, but young and lovely, her hair dark, skin smoothed of wrinkles, and her body lithe and strong. The only thing that remained the same was the faded half moon inked on her forehead. Hegeria's mark. Except this creature belonged to the Corruptor. Cinta gave a slow clap of her hands.
Age is a nearly infallible disguise, but one I'll be glad to never use again.
Retrieving a leather mask, she fastened it over her face, concealing the tattoo on her forehead, as she had when Lydia had seen her the night of Malahai's ball.
Rufina.
The name came out of Lydia's mouth as a croak.
Named by my master the day I turned my back on the Six.
The corrupted Queen of Darren answered. Her attention moved to Sarek, who was writhing at her feet, the blight consuming more of his life with every passing second.
I had to kill him because of you.
Rufina met Lydia's gaze, her eyes burning with the corruptor's flames.
Had to kill all of them because of you and your cure.
Bile burned up Lydia's throat, fueled by her grief and guilt and fury.
He broke when the High Lady delivered your revelation, not because of all those he ordered killed that might have been saved, but because he wished death upon Mutamora's last living tender.
Kneeling next to Sarek, she pulled him upright so that he was looking her in the eye.
Do you remember how you cursed your daughter's name? How you told me she was blasphemous for wanting to rule when her mark demanded that she serve? How you said that if the Six still stood with Mutamora, they'd see her dead?
She laughed wildly.
By condemning her, you destroyed Mutamora's only hope and gave my master what he needed for victory. For once she breaks, Malahai will turn all that she once loved to blight. Malahai was a tender.
But that wasn't the revelation that drained the blood from Lydia's face. It was that the ill-fated queen was still alive. Alive. And Rufina intended to force her to expand the reach of the blight.
You are a demon,
Sarek spat in Rufina's face.
A product of the Seventh's evil.
The Queen of Darren only smiled.
So are you, Your Grace. The only difference between us is that I know which god I serve.
Sarek stared at her, lines of black blight crawling up his face, ripping a final scream from his lips. Then he fell to the ground and went still. The king of Mudamora was dead. And Lydia would soon join him if she didn't find a way to flee. But the path before her was filled with an army of blighters, and behind her, the soldiers dying from the blight would soon rise as the Seventh's puppets. There was nowhere to run. As the direness of her own circumstances became clear, Sarek's corpse rose smoothly to his feet, his face possessed of a cool calmness. Rufina dropped to her knee in front of him.
Master.
My child.
Sarek spoke, but the voice that exited his lips made Lydia's skull ache with the vastness of it. She clamped her hands over her ears, but it was like he spoke inside her head as he turned to level a finger at her.
Capture the Marked One. Do what you will with the rest.
I live to serve,
Rufina said. And as one, the horde of dead soldiers surged through the entrance.
Run!
Terror galloped through Lydia's veins as she sprinted up the stairs, the sound of heavy footfalls close behind her. The temple is under attack, she screamed, hoping that any alive who heard would have the wherewithal to hide, for there was nothing she could do for them.
Faster.
Except there was nowhere to run. Nowhere to hide where they wouldn't eventually find her.
Keep going.
She rose higher and higher in the tower, a cramp pinching her side, but she ignored it.
The library.
She hit the floor the library was on, shoving open the door and then slamming it behind her and twisting the bolt. Except she knew it wouldn't hold for long. She shoved a table up against the door, right as the first blighters reached it, the boards shuddering with the impact of their bodies as they threw themselves against the wood. Sobs of fear tearing from her throat, she dragged over more furniture, piling it high against the door and then knocking the nearest bookshelves against it. The mess of wood continued to shudder, but there were no shouts outside, only eerie silence. Spinning in a circle, she searched for a way out, but of course, there was none. She went to the window and looked down. Everywhere she looked, the ground was a churning mass of armed men fighting to get inside of the tower. Screams echoed up from the windows of the lower levels, the other healers falling victim to the horde, some choosing to leap to their deaths rather than face whatever had come for them. But Lydia wasn't ready to give up. She circled the library until she reached the window that faced the palace, her chest tightening at the sight of fire breaking out across the city, of soldiers chasing civilians and cutting them down, screams filling the night. Her worst nightmare came to fruition, and there was no way out. Then an arrow shot through the window in front of her, embedding in a bookcase. An arrow with a thin piece of rope attached to it. And terror flooded her veins. They were coming through the window. Bracing her foot against the shelf, Lydia jerked the arrow loose and raced to the window, intent on throwing it. But as she looked across at the neighboring tower, her eyes latched on a familiar face. High Lady Falorn. Dorina held a finger to her lips, then held up her end of the rope.
Tie it to something.
And then crawl across.
The drop was sickening. Falling would mean certain death. But with the way the furniture she'd piled against the door was moving inward with each slam, there was no other option. Going to a pillar, Lydia wrapped the thin cord around it twice and then secured it with several knots of a quality that would have made Tariana cringe, but she'd neither the skill nor the time for better. Going back to the window, she nodded to Dorina, who pulled the rope tight, securing it somewhere within the tower, Then the High Lady motioned for her to cross. Climbing onto the windowsill, Lydia lay flat across the rope, then took a breath and allowed herself to rotate under it, using her legs to hold her weight as she slowly crept across the gap. If any of the blighters looked up, she was dead. At this height, she was well within range of a good bowman, and even with her mark, a well-placed arrow was all it would take. From behind, she heard furniture smashing to the ground, her barricade starting to crumble, which meant she had only minutes until they were in. Hurry. A cold wind whipped at her robes, her hair blowing around her face, but she kept going, moving as fast as she could. And then she felt hands grip her wrists, hauling her across the sill and into the dark tower beyond.
Someone tampered with the water at the palace,
Dorina said softly, untying the rope and allowing it to drop so as not to leave a clue where Lydia had gone.
The whole royal army is turned or dead, as are the High Lords. They took Sarek prisoner.
Lydia's stomach dropped. Lena and Gwen?
Safe on a ship, one Sarek doesn't know about.
A small relief. The blighter Quindor kept got loose and poisoned the temple water with blight. They've killed all the healers, and Sarek has been turned. He's a blighter now.
The Six have mercy on us, Dorina
muttered.
Someone coordinated this. Someone is in charge.
It was Cinta, or Rufina, as she now calls herself.
The High Lady stopped in her tracks. That's not possible. Cinta is a healer. I've seen her heal people with my own eyes. She can't be corrupted. That's blasphemy.
It is possible to do both. Fear slicked her palms with sweat, but this was no time for keeping secrets. Because I can do it too.
Abruptly, she was against the wall, the High Lady's hands pinioning her wrists to the stone. What are you saying, Lydia? Because if it's that you're corrupted, you know I need to kill you, no matter how much I might wish otherwise.
Lydia took a deep breath. Rufina said that Hegeria grants healers our powers, but that it is our choice how we use them. And the corruptor rewards those who use their marks in service of him. And it's not only healers, it's the marks of all the gods that can be corrupted. It was hard to see in the darkness of the stairwell, but Lydia could hear Dorina's breath, feel the way her fingers flexed as she considered Lydia's words. But she wasn't convinced, so Lydia said,
The tenders in the royal army, I don't think they all died. I think Rufina captured some of them and forced or convinced them to use their mark to create the blight.
Corrupted tenders.
Yes.
Lydia's heart was hammering. That's why Malahai was taken. If Rufina's to be believed, she was marked by Yara, but kept her gift a secret. Rufina is going to force her to try to expand the reach of the Blight.
We need to get her back.
Yes.
They were running out of time. But you and I are the only two people alive who know the truth, which means we really need to get out of here alive. Which means I really need you to trust me.
Wind howled down the staircase, and Lydia felt Dorina shiver, then mutter under her breath, Yeah, Tremon, fine. I hear you.
She let go of Lydia's wrists.
Let's go. We can get into the sewers through the sublevel, but we need to hurry. They'll be combing the city soon enough.
They raced down the stairs, finally reaching the ground level in which there was a large statue of a man on a horse, the base covered with dead flowers and other offerings from before the doors were locked. Dorina brought her past it, opening a door to a narrow staircase which led down to a small cellar. A hole had been knocked in one wall, allowing access to the sewer system, judging from the smell. Pulling out her sword, Dorina motioned for Lydia to take the waiting lamp.
Let's go.
They moved swiftly through the sewers, heading in the direction of the harbor gate. From time to time, they heard the pounding of boots, and the pair of them were forced to hide in side passages with the lamplight hidden behind Lydia's robes. But she knew eventually they were going to have to climb out into the streets. And when they did,
they'd have to fight. Finally, Darina stopped.
I have a ship waiting out in deep water, but we're going to need to get to it ourselves because I've no way to signal them without drawing attention to us, and the harbor is crawling with blighters.
What about the boats in the cavern at the base of the cliffs? Lydia suggested. Is there a way to reach them?
Darina rubbed her chin. Seas are too rough to try to swim. We'd have to go through the palace and down into the tunnels.
It's not where they'll expect us to go.
Worth a shot.
They moved closer to the palace, finding a place where they could climb out of the sewers. They hid in an alley as a group of blighter soldiers strode past, none of them speaking a word. They wove through the dark alleys until they were as close as they could reasonably get to the palace gates, which were open but guarded by a small force of men.
Are they alive?
Darina asked under her breath. Lydia gave a slight shake of her head.
I knew them,
Darina said softly.
In life, sat around a fire and drank with them.
It's not them anymore.
I know you can see that,
she answered.
But I can't. To me, they look very much alive, and I'm going to have to kill them to get through that gate.
Is there another way? The High Lady shook her head, then unhooked a bow from around her shoulder, drawing 3 arrows from the quiver strapped to her back.
Stay close, but stay out of my way. Understood?
Without waiting for a response, Darina moved, the bow twanging 3 times in what seemed no more than a breath, and 3 of the soldiers dropped to the cobbles. The others were trained, or at least their bodies were, and they immediately dived behind the barrier, shouting the alarm. But the High Lady was already halfway across the open space, sword raised. Lydia sprinted after her, watching as the woman leapt over the dead men, her blade colliding with that of one of the soldiers. He managed to parry twice and then fell screaming, but Darina had moved on to the next. Lydia had seen Killian fight, his skill and speed beyond anything she'd ever seen. But whereas he was heavy blows and brute strength, watching the High Lady was like watching a dancer moving between men, her violence visible only in the bodies that fell in her wake. The blighters retreated back against the gate. High Lady, they pleaded, stop. But she didn't hesitate, nothing more than a blur of dark leather and steel as she carved into them, parting their heads from their necks, one after another, until the ground was drenched with blood. Only once they were all truly dead did she stop, and Lydia saw the tears glistening on the woman's face.
Let's go.
Shoving open the gate, they ran through the camp. It was littered with the bodies of those who hadn't been turned, but killed by their comrades, the carnage unlike anything Lydia had ever seen. But there was no time to hesitate, because from behind, shouts filled the air.
They know we're here,
Darina hissed.
We have to hurry.
Inside the palace, it was dark, blood and bodies littering the floor, but they leapt over them, making their way to the stairs and hurtling downwards, then toward the room containing the hatch that led to the tunnels. Pulling back the thick bolts holding it shut, Darina heaved it open.
In you go.
Lydia's terror ratcheted higher, the memory of her last time in these tunnels layering old fear upon new until she felt she could scarcely breathe. The torchlight flickered off the walls, casting bouncing shadows as they ran, barely having rounded the first switchback when their pursuers entered the hatch. The roar of the sea grew, soon loud enough to drown out the shouts of the blighters, and she and Darina burst into the chamber containing the boats. Lydia's eyes skipped to the opening to the sea beyond, and the gate that barred it.
Get it open!
Darina shouted, and Lydia raced forward, shoving the tip of her belt knife into the lock. Her whole body twitched as steel rang against steel behind her, the blighters upon them. Snatching a stone from the damp ground, she slammed it against the hilt of her knife until she broke the lock and the gate swung open. Only then did she turn, her stomach dropping at the sight. Dozens of blighters filled the tunnel leading into the cavern, and while Dorina was holding them off, she wouldn't be able to do so for long. Running to one of the boats, Lydia dug in her heels and pushed it toward the opening. Waves struck the stairs with enough force that she questioned how they'd avoid being dashed against the cliffs. Balancing the boat on the edge of the stairs, oars inside, she watched the timing of the waves, knowing that she had to be precise and that there'd be only one chance to get it right. Now, Dorina! She shouted, then leapt inside the vessel. The boat slid down the steps, and she twisted, seeing the High Lady, face splattered with gore, racing toward her, the blighters in pursuit. Dorina jumped off the top step right as the boat hit the water, landing half on top of Lydia as the retreating wave pulled the boat with them. "We need to row," she shouted, disentangling herself and trying to get the heavy oars into their locks. But the water was reversing, the boat picking up speed as the waves flung themselves toward the cliffs.
"Midoriya, you might give us some assistance, you waterlogged sea hag!"
Dorina screamed, wrenching an oar from Lydia's grip and shoving it into a lock. Lydia got the other one in, but it was too late. They were too close, the waves too strong. She braced herself for the impact. Then the water abruptly fell still, the waves flattening, foam floating on the glassy surface. The boat slid forward on its own momentum, striking the rocks, but the thick wood held strong.
"Ha-ha!"
Dorina crowed, flipping her middle finger at the watching blighters. Then she grasped the oars and leaned into them, rowing the boat out to sea. "What happened?" Lydia demanded, staring at the still water. "How is this possible?"
"The ship that's waiting for us," the High Lady said, breathing hard, "is not Mudamorian. It's Marin, and one of Midoriya's marked is aboard."